Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whoops. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
bathroom?
Like
I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything taken care of.
It took forever, and the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
What is Saudi Arabia hiding? The 9/11 families demanding justice and information and truth. Will we ever get it? Welcome back to the show, our fourth and final hour. Great to be with you on a Thursday. This week is flying by. Love it. 855-839-1210 on Twitter at Rich Zeoli. So there's a piece that was written regarding Josh Shapiro. What's so great about Josh Shapiro and why he may be worth adding to the ticket despite the real risks? This is the big story of the hour, brought to you by our buddy Dr. Mike Venaria, VenariaDental.com. Go see him today for your perfect smile, V-A-N-A-R-I-A, VenariaDental.com. So it goes on to say, Kamala Harris has the luxury of several promising options for her vice presidential nominee, but the discussion has focused inordinately on Pennsylvania Governor Josh Shapiro. The reason for this is that Shapiro has some weaknesses that make him distasteful to some potential Harris voters. Harris's decision tree begins with Shapiro or not Shapiro. Apparently, it really is coming down that close. Democrats have two main concerns with Josh Shapiro, despite the fact that he's obviously a beta stalker who is completely desperate and has no grace whatsoever when it comes to playing hard to get. One small and one large. The small concern is that he endorsed a school voucher plan. School vouchers, which give students public funds they can use to attend private school, have become the Republican Party's central policy initiative in the fall. Now, of course, we know here in Pennsylvania that Josh Shapiro didn't follow through. Oh, he was for it, but he never followed through. He never did anything. Lifeline scholarships, they're just sitting there. Absolutely nothing is happening regarding Lifeline scholarships. Why? Because much like how Cory Booker, Count Grand Sangelo, Spartacus Booker, and the Tears of Rage Band, one time actually ran for mayor of Newark, New Jersey, on expanding charter schools, on vouchers, on all these other things. The minute that that guy saw the national lights, the national ambition in his eyes, all that stuff went right out the window, because you want to be a national Democrat star? You better make sure the teachers union's happy with you. The teachers union, well, they don't like vouchers. They don't like charter schools. They don't like these things. Anything that's a threat to their control over the indoctrination of your children, anything that's competition for failing public schools, they don't want it. So Josh Shapiro follows a long line of Democrats who, when they ran locally, they were all in. Then they suddenly see the bright lights of Broadway, the national stage, and all that stuff goes right out the window. Right out the window. So this article from New York Magazine goes on to say, not all voucher plans are created equal, but in general, the evidence suggests vouchers do not improve educational outputs. Oh, really? Who put that evidence forward? Was it the same people that helped the CDC craft the school reopening guidance plan, i.e. the teachers union? Right. That's right. Exactly right. Shapiro wound up not implementing a voucher plan when he was unable to come to terms with Republicans. He didn't want to come to terms with Republicans because he was endorsed by the American Federation of Teachers. Remember, the national president of that is a troll under the bridge, Randy Weingarten. Hey, kids, give me your milk money. I hate vouchers. You stay in failing schools, you poor little black children, you. Now, the American Federation of Teachers probably alleviates some of the concern, but his support for the policy is certainly a demerit. He doesn't really support the policy. If he did, we'd have lifeline scholarships. He would have put it in as one of the first things he did as governor. He had the support of the Republicans in the legislature. He killed it because he wanted it to die because he didn't want to hurt his national ambitions. He didn't want to hurt his national plans. Bottom line, Shapiro wound up not implementing a voucher plan. But the article goes on to say the more serious criticism centers on his comments on anti-Israel protests since October 7th, which he has denounced. In the broadest terms, Shapiro's position is similar to that of most Democrat officials. He defends the right to free speech while condemning anti-Semitism. He supports the two-state solution, endorses Israel's right to self-defense against Hamas terrorism, and condemns Netanyahu as a dangerous and destructive leader. Because Shapiro's underlying position is so conventional, some Jewish analysts have argued that the disproportionate backlash he has faced in comparison with other VP candidates who hold similar positions is anti-Semitic. But that accusation of a double standard seems a bit unfair because it overlooks the unusually strong tenor of Shapiro's statements about the campus protests. The most inflammatory comment he made occurred during a CNN interview in April when he drew a comparison between anti-Israel protesters on campus and the KKK. And they don't like the fact that he did that. They also like the fact that he defended Goldie's, which is a restaurant in Philadelphia owned by a Jewish person, Jewish family. And there were all these whack jobs protesting outside Goldie's. And Shapiro actually went down there and defended the restaurant, while the progressive kooky left doesn't like that either. A somewhat greater concern for the author of the New York Magazine article is that Shapiro called for the resignation of University President Liz McGill over her performance at congressional hearings on campus anti-Semitism. As I argued at the time, the pileart against McGill and her fellow presidents was ludicrous. They were asked about policing calls for genocide, asked by Republicans who had defined the term in absurdly broad fashion. They evaded the question and insisted it would depend on specifics, making them sound cold-hearted, but their position was correct. Oh, please. The problem with Liz McGill, like the other whack job lefty college presidents, is that all these people were out there defending, or I should say condemning, speech they didn't like for years. Like if a guy refused to use the proper pronouns, they get thrown off campus. Even at the University of Pennsylvania, going after a very prominent legal professor for her comments that they didn't like, firing her. No, this is what those schools did. But the fact that Shapiro, at the time, he wasn't thinking about being vice president. He was just thinking about solidifying his support as governor of Pennsylvania. So this is the great dichotomy in the Democrat Party right now. Want to know what it is? It's this. The Democrat Party nationally is crazy. They're nuts. I mean, this is why John Fetterperson has taken such great pains to come out and say, I am not a progressive. I'm a Democrat, okay? And I stand with Israel. He has to actually go out there and say that. And then what happens? He gets killed by the likes of Will Bunch, the writer for the Philadelphia Inquirer. You know, Fetterman says, I want the border to be secure. We can't have the population of Pittsburgh coming into our country every day. And what happens? He gets killed. You're a sellout. You promised to be Bernie Sanders, and you've turned into a moderate. But you see, in Pennsylvania, that's different from how the whack job Democrats are nationally. But if you want to become a national Democrat star, then you have to pivot and go kooky. Otherwise, you're never going to get to be on the national stage. So when you watch the evolution of Josh Shapiro, when you watch him, you understand exactly what I'm talking about. If he really wants to become the vice president of the United States, he's got to appease progressive lunatics in the Democrat Party. This is not a moderate party. Look, James Carville says this all the time, and I know I keep quoting Carville lately because it's worth it. He points this out all the time. These are not people who are rational. These are not people who are trying to work with working class voters. These are people from the faculty lounge who lecture Americans and tell them how to live their lives. And they come up with terms like Latinx, and they tell you not to eat cheeseburgers because they have a very feminine message that does not relate to working class Americans. And the Democrat Party at one point pretended like it was the great party for the working class. This is the first election in a long time where working class voters have said the Republican Party more identifies with them, stands with them, understands their issues. And again, that is the issue, is that this dichotomy between trying to be the governor of Pennsylvania, where you have to come across as a moderate who wants to reach across the aisle and work with Republicans and do things like Lifeline scholarships, and then trying to run on the national stage where the teachers union will kill you, trying to be a moderate in Pennsylvania and trying to say you want the border to be secure, and then going on the national stage where the lunatics will kill you because they want open borders, trying to be a moderate to say Israel's a right to defend itself, and then going on the national stage and having lunatics come after you and try to kill you because you also say that on these campuses they should not have these kind of very, very dangerous rhetoric where Jewish students feel threatened and feel like their lives could be at risk. Those same progressive kooks, of course, in places like Michigan, Wisconsin, Minnesota, these college campuses, think Ilhan Omar, Rashida Tlaib, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. That's the mojo of the National Democrat Party. That's the difference between the local Democrats and the national Democrats. It's that right there. It's that issue. So there's no doubt in my mind that if Josh Shapiro is actually going to wind up being the candidate, if he's actually going to wind up being the vice presidential nominee, it's going to turn off a lot of the Democrat base. And I think they need every Democrat vote in this election. I've told you for months, I think this is a base election. And whoever gets their base out is going to win, because there are a lot of people right now, for example, say Hispanic voters that the Democrats used to count on, they're not there anymore. They're going to Trump. A lot of black voters who the Democrats used to just take for granted, despite the fact that Kamala Harris wants to pretend like she's, you know, right. They're not going with Kamala Harris, especially the men. They're going with Donald Trump. So all these things factor in. So the Democrats need every kooky vote that they can possibly get. And if they lose any, they're going to wind up losing the election. That's where things stand. I mean, that's where things stand for them right now. And it's the kind of thing where you're not looking, in my opinion, for them to get somebody who could be at least a bit controversial to the base. Now, maybe they've done their due diligence and they figure that Shapiro could help them win Pennsylvania, and that overcomes it. But I think if you do that, if you go with a Shapiro, then you're gonna have to push more of his progressive kooky policies, like the time that he collaborated with the trans lobby to target counselors who don't gender transition kids, or the time that Josh Shapiro went after the nuns and sued the nuns. Pennsylvania Governor Josh Shapiro collaborated with transgender activists to target professionals who help children resolve gender distress without life-altering medical treatments. That was the so-called conversion therapy. They wanted bans on the so-called conversion therapy, which, you know, quite frankly, I mean, as a parent, if you want to work with your kids and their spiritual counselors and everything else, you should have a right to do that under the First Amendment of our Constitution. Also, the fact that your parents, you should be able to make those determinations for your kids. But they don't like that fact. And they were going after an outing therapist, and they were very hardcore on this whole thing. Shapiro was an ardent behind all this. So you see, he has enough kooky positions. And once you destroy the moderate facade, you might understand how Josh Shapiro has some major problems. And who knows, could become the gift to the Democrats after all. But personally, I'm just having such a fun time just watching him embarrass himself with the just pure desperation. Pick me, Kamala. Pick me. Pick me. Oh, Josh, lose my number. No, seriously, lose my number, man. It's creepy. Please lose my number, please. All right, we got a lot more to come. The justice for 9/11 families. Will we ever get the truth about Saudi Arabia and their role? And how do the families feel about the deal that was struck today? Don't go away.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
bathroom?
I
feel like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything
taken
care of.
It took forever, and the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the Markable Fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
The Rich Scioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
So what is the 9/11 plea deal really about? What's it really about? It's really about the fact that this administration is still covering for Saudi Arabia. That's what it's about. Welcome back to the show. Glad you're here. Our fourth and final hour on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD. They're still covering for Saudi Arabia. And, you know, there's a video which allegedly shows Saudi officials casing the Capitol before 9/11. And the hearing that's scheduled on Saudi Arabia's request to diminish the lawsuit, 9/11 families have urged Biden and Trump to address the Saudi video. So U.S. District Judge George Daniels listened to arguments today about evidence in the 20-year-old Manhattan case, or yesterday, I should say. Members of 9/11 Justice, Brett Eagleson, you've heard that name before. He was actually on my show years ago. We'll try to get him back on, but he's been all over this. His dad was killed in 9/11. He's got the 9/11 victims organization. And they heard a lot about survivors, first responders, had a news conference Wednesday expressing relief that families may learn more about what happened in the lead up to the 9/11 terrorist attacks 23 years ago. Remember, those pages in the 9/11 report are still, to this day, they are still classified. We still have not seen the evidence regarding Saudi Arabia and 9/11. So if you want to understand, exactly where all this comes from, it comes from that. It comes from the fact that Saudi Arabia played a role in this, and we don't want to talk about it. We don't want to acknowledge that. And you know, look, I, for one, I get really angry when the government keeps secrets from the American people. I do. I get really angry by it. And I'm happy that at least there may be some justice that may come out of all this. You know, there may be some, we may finally get some answers here, not because of this plea deal. The plea deal's separate. That's just to make it all go away. But the families going in court, going to try to get to the bottom of Saudi Arabia's role in all this, that may be where we finally get some answers. And this judge hearing the evidence here. Brett Eagleson said, it's a monumental day for us. This is the first time the families can hear the full, untethered story about what happened that day. The news conference and the court hearing follows years of advocacy and legal battles by the victims' families in their pursuit of justice and transparency. He said, I've seen senators from the extreme left to the extreme right come together on this. So let this be the bridge. Brings us together and let us work towards justice and accountability. Lawyers for relatives of 9/11 victims say that a group of extremist religious leaders in Saudi Arabia gained influence in the Saudi government, aided the 9/11 hijackers. Attorneys Michael Kellogg and Gregory G. Rapawi, arguing on behalf of Saudi Arabia, said plaintiffs in their last lawsuit had failed to generate sufficient evidence over the last 4 years of discovery to enable their claims to move forward. However, Gavin Simpson, arguing for the plaintiffs, said there was substantial evidence, indeed compelling evidence, that a militant network of individuals in the United States teamed up with Saudi officials to aid the hijackers who came to the United States in early 2000 to prepare for the attacks. He showed the judge video clips of a February 17, 2000 welcome party in California for two of the hijackers, saying 29 individuals were there who later helped the pair to settle in America and prepare for the attacks. The examples are abundant, Your Honor, of the support that was provided. The purpose of this party was to welcome the hijackers. Earlier this month, 9/11 Justice called out President Joe Biden and former President Donald Trump for not talking more about a video allegedly showing a Saudi official casing the U.S. Capitol as the terror attacks were being planned. The group says it was disappointed that Biden, Trump, and lawmakers have not addressed what the group says are explosive revelations. In addition, 9/11 Justice is calling and urging on Saudi Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman to provide justice and closure to the families of victims. Video footage obtained by news outlets, including CBS, shows a group of men driving around a neighborhood, sometimes pointing out landmarks like the White House, the Washington Monument, and the Capitol Building. Investigators working with the 9/11 Families United sent News Nation the video after a judge released it by court order as part of a civil lawsuit filed by victims' families that seeks to hold Saudi Arabia liable for any role it had in the attacks. Saudi government officials maintain the video is nothing more than a tourist video of Washington, D.C. Former CIA and FBI official Phil Mudd said in a previous appearance on News Nation that while the video is significant, it is not necessarily evidence. Families, however, said the video is damning, that it's absolutely damning. And it is, because there's no way that these people were just driving around doing a tourist video. No way was that happening. I want to bring you back. This is a little flashback. 2 years ago, Catherine Herridge, when she was at CBS, she was one of the first people to report on the deep disappointment that some 9/11 families felt that the death penalty could be off the table for the families of the hijackers.
Memory of 9/11 is strong, but the search for justice remains in terms of putting people on trial and getting those charges to stick. Where are we on that front? And good morning to you.
Good morning, Tony. CBS News has confirmed that military prosecutors and defense attorneys are negotiating potential plea deals that could take the death penalty off the table for the five defendants accused in the 9/11 attacks.
Which we now know they've done.
He was living his dream.
Pilot Charles Burlingame was more than a war hero to his family, who affectionately called him Chick.
Yeah, here he is.
Before the anniversary, his sister, Deborah Burlingame, shared his story at New York's 9/11 memorial.
He was really our touchstone. And it was, he still is.
On 9/11, Al-Qaeda terrorists took over Burlingame's American Airlines Flight 77, slamming it into the Pentagon.
We didn't have remains for weeks. We were constantly saying to each other, what would Chick want? What would Chick do?
But her grief has turned to anger.
Well, I was outraged.
After learning a potential plea deal is under discussion for the five 9/11 defendants held at this military base in Guantanamo Bay, Cuba, including Khalid Sheikh Mohammed, the self-described architect of 9/11.
You're in touch with other 9/11 families. Do they feel the same way? The families are outraged, and they don't want closure. They want justice.
But another group, September 11th, Families for Peaceful Tomorrows, believes a plea deal could deliver some measure of judicial finality.
It's not going to, though. See, that's the problem, because it's going to be part of the continued cover-up into Saudi Arabia and their role in all this. This is a little bit more of what Brett Eagleson said. He said, we're deeply troubled by these plea deals. While we acknowledge the decision to avoid the death penalty, our primary concern remains access to these individuals for information. These plea deals should not perpetuate a system of closed-door agreements where crucial information is hidden without giving the families of the victims a chance to learn the full truth. We need to know the extent of the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia's involvement in the 9/11 attacks. This isn't just about punishment. It is about uncovering the truth and ensuring justice for the nearly 3,000 Americans who lost their lives on that tragic day. Our stance is clear. If a deal is to be made, it must ensure that we obtain the vital evidence these individuals possess. We urge the administration to ensure that these deals do not close the door in obtaining critical information that can shed light on Saudi Arabia's role in the 9/11 attacks. Our quest for justice will not waver until the truth is revealed and justice is served for the victims and their families. This plea deal today is done to protect Saudi Arabia. That's part of it. That's part of the reason so this can all go away. That's what happens. That's what this is all about. And, you know, you think about some of the people that, for example, you know, some of the family members reacting to the reports on possible Saudi involvement in 9/11. And it's absolutely shocking. President of 9/11... Brett Eagleson, he was talking to Jake Tapper yesterday about the unsealing of a lot of this. Very compelling, truly compelling. I mean, to just think about what they're still hiding from us. This government, though, of course, is also still hiding things from, you know, the Kennedy assassination. So, and the clip I played earlier from John Cornyn with the Secret Service director about that drone. You know, they couldn't get the frigging drone to work. It's like you think about these people and the level of incompetence. It's amazing, but the level of nefarious behavior here by these people is something that is just purely repulsive, in my opinion. It is. It's repulsive.
Justice, his father, Bruce Eagleson, was killed in the September 11th terrorist attack. Brett, you were in court today. More than 200 exhibits were unsealed. What is your main takeaway?
The main takeaway is, wow. Shocking. This is the first time that the 9/11 families have seen presented in a full story all the evidence that our legal team, former FBI agents, former national security officials have amassed over the past 23 years about the Saudi Arabian government's involvement in 9/11. Now, it's interesting you note that you mentioned the 9/11 commission report on your lead-in, and all I heard today from the Kingdom lawyers were commission report, commission report, commission report. Their story hasn't changed. They're still relying on the 04 commission report. Everything that we've talked about today is post-commission report. The video, which you just presented to your audience, was not even seen by the 9/11 Commission. So as far as we're concerned, the 9/11 Commission report is null and void. We need to rewrite the history of 9/11. And today's case, where hundreds of family members, for the first time ever, was a monumental development because we were able to finally see and understand what our lawyers have known for 23 years.
So regarding this Al-Bayoumi casing video, What is your assessment of why this video was hidden from public view and specifically from 9/11 families' view for 23 years?
It's incredible, Jake. And the fact is that we didn't even get this video from our own government, despite a Biden presidential executive order, despite bipartisan support in both bodies of Congress, despite pleadings with former President Trump, President Biden, our government did not give us this video. This video came from the British government. It was the British authorities who obtained this video and gave it to our legal team. And it was shown today in court. And it was, there were other parts of it that were shown. There were parts where Bayoumi was shown with the hijackers hosting them at his house. That was never known before. There were parts of it where there were other Saudi government officials, brand new to anyone. In Bayoumi's apartment, there were senior Saudi government officials with him, higher ranking than Bayoumi himself, hosting the hijackers, slicing meat for the hijackers, passing food around. They were addressing each other in very respectable ways, meaning that they were using a form of Islam that shows a very high level of respect for these individuals. So today we learned a lot. I'm still digesting it, and it's just there's more coming too. And today was a very, very good day for justice, for transparency, and a huge day for the families.
I don't even think people realize that this video is out there. I don't even think. I mean, did you know this video even existed? Well, I'll give you some of the reaction from J.D. Vance to the hijackers, the masterminds, I should say, not getting the death penalty. J.D. Vance at the border. We got a lot more to go. Don't go away.
The Rich Scioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
What a show it's been. What a show it's been today. All the interviews podcasts for you, of course, as they always are. Welcome back. Glad you're here. 855-839-1210 on Twitter at Rich Scioli. As we continue along our fourth and final hour on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD, J.D. Vance went down to the border and went after Kamala Harris for being a failed border czar. Because, you know, she was the border czar. I don't know if you know this or not, but she was. It's true. She was. She can pretend like she wasn't. But we have the receipts. We know she was. They're trying to avoid it. Like I said, if they keep erasing what she's done in this administration, it's basically going to come down to she wasn't even vice president very, very soon. But here's what J.D. Vance said today down the border. Take a listen.
They started their administration. Kamala Harris came into office making promises, and she kept those promises to open the American southern border. They stopped deportations on day one. They stopped construction of the border wall on day one. We see the border wall sitting here, ready to be completed behind us, and that can't happen because of Kamala Harris's administration. They reinstated catch and release, and they stopped remain in Mexico. So all of these asylum claimants who come to our border, they can now get released into our country because they're not forced to stay in Mexico while we adjudicate their asylum claims. And we have to remember that as terrible and idiotic as these policies were, they cause real human beings to suffer. A lot of you know my story, and I have been a little kid waiting at the bedside of his mother, angry that his mom took something that she shouldn't have taken, but praying to God, please, Jesus, let her wake up. And the unfortunate truth is because of the poison that Kamala Harris has let come into this country, there are a lot of those prayers that won't be answered. There are a lot of parents that won't wake up because when you take fentanyl, you don't wake up. It takes your life. So there are a lot of kids out there who have been deprived of second chances with their moms and dads. There are a lot of moms and dads out there who will never see their kids walk down the aisle because of what Kamala Harris has unleashed at this border.
She unleashed it. On the border, she did this. This is what she did. That's what she was. She was the border czar. And if you aren't happy with the border, they need to keep pressing this issue. Keep pressing this issue. That and the fact that Kamala Harris failed to connect one person with high-speed internet, even though they spent $442.5 billion from the infrastructure bill. Not one person. $42.5 billion. So she really is able to accomplish so much, is she not? I mean, she's just so effective. J.D. Vance also went after the deal regarding the 9/11 terrorists. And I mean, we talked about this earlier in the show today. I'm still amazed, truly amazed by all of this. Take a listen to what he said.
Now, it's funny what Kamala Harris does, but what she has done to this country is not a laughing matter. Just today, I heard that the Biden-Harris Department of Justice cut a deal with Al-Qaeda terrorist Khalid Sheikh Mohammed to avoid the death penalty. It was reported today. Now, as someone who enlisted in the Marines to serve after 9/11, that is ridiculous, but it's not surprising. Now, just think about the point that we've gotten to. Joe Biden and Kamala Harris have weaponized the Department of Justice to go after their political opponents, but they're cutting a sweetheart deal with 9/11 terrorists.
We need a
president who kills terrorists, not negotiates with them.
That's a good point. If you signed an NDA, they'll come after you, but not if you're a terrorist who blew up the trade towers.
The weakness of Kamala Harris's administration has been a disaster for our country all over the world. Now, there are so many examples we could talk about, but recent news comes out of Venezuela that they cut a deal with a dictator in Venezuela, and they offered in exchange that that dictator would have free and fair elections. And shocker, the Kamala Harris administration doesn't know anything about free and fair elections.
He's a really good speaker. He is. He's a solid speaker, which is why they keep focusing on stupid things like couches. Jackie Heinrich today asked the question, and of course, the White House says they had nothing to do with this. These were military trials. The president's the commander in chief. I'm pretty sure that if they wanted to seek the death penalty, they could have made that happen. I'm pretty sure about that fact. But of course, the White House says we had nothing to do with it. We had nothing to do with it.
Just hoping for a response to the 9/11 plea deal that spared the architects the death penalty. The New York City Firefighters Union put out a statement that said, "We are disgusted and disappointed that these three terrorists were given a plea deal and allowed to escape the ultimate justice while each month three more heroes from the FDNY are dying from World Trade Center illnesses." Does the administration have a message for them?
Look, our hearts go out. I mean, not much more than I can add to what you heard from the National Security Advisor and how I just answered the question to one of your colleagues. And I'll just reiterate, obviously, our hearts go out to the families who lost a loved one. We didn't have a role in this. This was not something that we were involved in. And so we are determined to make sure that they get justice, these families get justice. I just don't have anything else to add to what the National Security Advisor just stated from here moments ago.
I got nothing. We had nothing to do with it. Why would we take a role in wanting to see death to the people that orchestrated the greatest attack on U.S. soil since Pearl Harbor? Why would we be involved in that in any way, shape, or form? We're way too busy going after Donald Trump's non-disclosure agreements. So, you know, and raiding Mar-a-Lago. We can't be bothered with this. So there you go. I had another J.D. Vance border clip. He ripped the media for trying to hide that Kamala Harris is the border czar. And good for him, you know, for going after that, because I'm sick and tired of them gaslighting us again by pretending like she had nothing to do with the border. Like there was no involvement whatsoever by her.
Close here in a second, but I want to just point out that when the media lies about Kamala Harris being the border czar, here is what you're lying about. You cannot have an effective border policy unless you have somebody who is coordinating all the different agencies of the U.S. federal government. You need the State Department involved to send people back to their home countries. You need the Department of Justice involved to prosecute these terrible drug crimes. And of course, you need DHS involved so that the Border Patrol is empowered to do their job. Kamala Harris, as border czar, was asked to coordinate all these functions of government, and she's done nothing. Every time I ask these guys, and I even asked, you know, Brandon, Paul, let's play devil's advocate here. Tell me, has Kamala Harris done anything you've asked her to do? She is the border czar. Has your border czar done anything you've asked her to do? And the answer is no. They send letters. They make phone calls. They are begging the American president and vice president for leadership, and their own border czar ignores them. That is a scandal. That is a disgrace. And to every American watching this, it will stop, but only if you elect Donald J. Trump president in just a few months. God bless you guys. Thank you for being here.
They're gaslighting. They're gaslighting. That's exactly what they're doing. Ha ha. That's exactly what they're doing. They are gaslighting us every single day. We're not going to let them. And, you know, when the fall election heats up, I got asked today a great question. I saw my buddy Anthony Mongo today. Terrific man. He's got Mongo's Tire in Delran. This is probably the most honest mechanic on planet Earth. I've known the guy for a long time. Very active in Rotary. His daughter, Nikki, great friend of the show, one of our Zioli Army calendar girls. And he was talking about, you know, they're still hiring, by the way, if you're looking to, if you're a mechanic and you want to, they're looking for good people. But we were talking about the election, and I said, look, you know, here's the deal. You're going to see a bump. There's no doubt about it. You're going to see Kamala Harris get a bump, and you're going to see a bump after the convention. But then the fall is going to come, and her record is going to come out. That's what's going to happen. Her record is going to come out. In fact, there was a great piece that was written the other day by Carol Roth, who's fantastic. She's a really smart woman. And she wrote this piece on Fox News. Kamala Harris is Joe Biden 2.0. That needs to be the focus of the campaign. Democrats want the election to be about Kamala Harris as the first woman president, not more of Joe Biden's bad policies. And she goes on to say, you know, there's plenty of material from which to work with around the vice president. This isn't going to be a winning strategy by focusing on her personally, whether or not she's identifying as black or not. You got to focus on the issues is her point. Now, I get it. I understand the point of saying, look, if Kamala Harris is not real and doesn't have street cred, it's a legit issue. Put it out there. You know, let the voters decide, get it out there. But her record is so bad. I just don't want the record to be overshadowed by anything. I really don't. I don't want the record to be overshadowed by anything. She received no primary votes in the presidential election. There are a lot of Democrats who are very angry about the fact that she has been allowed to just become their chosen candidate. And, you know, Carol Roth makes a couple great, really great points here. The policies that the Democrat system has been enacting, from allowing millions of illegal aliens into the country to wrecking economic and fiscal havoc, massive inflation, and the struggle for Americans to afford their basic needs, running massive non-emergency deficits, all those things will remain in place under Kamala Harris. Are you sick of America's counterproductive energy policies? Well, get ready for another 4 years of pushing destructive faux green policies. Do you hate how we've been shown weakness on the international stage? It has emboldened terrorists around the world. Well, be prepared for more of the same. Biden was positioned to America as a moderate candidate, and it was very apparent very quickly that was not the case. I told you that back in the fall of 2020, and I was saying to people, please don't be misled here. Don't be duped by this guy. He's not some moderate hiding in the basement, going to keep you safe from mean tweets and COVID. Joe Biden's only becoming the Democrat nominee because he's going to embrace all the kooky, lefty, radical, nutso policies that the Democrats want. Otherwise, that deal would not happen. But Kamala Harris was known as the most liberal senator, one of them anyway. And there's no doubt about it that as that record comes out more and more, focusing on her policies will be the answer to winning this election. No question about it. Because she's a terrible candidate with bad policies and a bad track record of those policies. And I'm telling you too, you know, if you look at what it's like economically, and you go to, they keep talking about moms, right? Moms in Pennsylvania. They brought this mom on the stage last night at the rally who talked about how expensive things are. This is the issue. This is how you win right here. To quote James Carville, it's the economy, stupid. It still is. It's the economy on the border in this election. I absolutely believe that. But they brought this mom on stage last night. Listen to what she said.
Gas prices are just astronomical. Being able to afford anything for my children anymore, like sports, is just kind of out of the question now. When President Trump was in, I could do these things with them. Since then, I've not been able to. I can't put them into sports. I can't go on extravagant vacations anymore. We can go to free parks around here. I miss it. I miss when we didn't have to pull out of our pockets for things. I'm hoping we can get back to a point where I'm financially stable.
You will.
And others. I know I can't be the only one. We're all going to the gas pump and be like, man.
The Rich Zeoli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
What a show it's been. What a show it's been today. All the interviews podcast for you, of course, as they always are. Welcome back. Glad you're here. 855-839-1210 on Twitter at Rich Zeoli as we continue along our fourth and final hour on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD. J.D. Vance went down to the border and went after Kamala Harris for being a failed border czar, because, you know, she was the border czar. I don't know if you know this or not, but she was. It's true. She was. She can pretend like she wasn't. But we have the receipts. We know she was. They're trying to avoid it. Like I said, if they keep erasing what she's done in this administration, it's basically going to come down to she wasn't even vice president very, very soon. But here's what J.D. Vance said today down the border. Take a listen.
They started their administration. Kamala Harris came into office making promises, and she kept those promises to open the American southern border. They stopped deportations on day one. They stopped construction of the border wall on day one. We see the border wall sitting here, ready to be completed behind us, and that can't happen because of Kamala Harris's administration. They reinstated catch and release, and they stopped remain in Mexico. So all these asylum claimants who come to our border, they can now get released into our country because they're not forced to stay in Mexico while we adjudicate their asylum claims. And we have to remember that as terrible and idiotic as these policies were, they cause real human beings to suffer. A lot of you know my story, and I have been a little kid waiting at the bedside of his mother, angry that his mom took something that she shouldn't have taken, but praying to God, please, Jesus, let her wake up. And the unfortunate truth is, because of the poison that Kamala Harris has let come into this country, there are a lot of those prayers that won't be answered. There are a lot of parents that won't wake up, because when you take fentanyl, you don't wake up. It takes your life. So there are a lot of kids out there who have been deprived of second chances with their moms and dads. There are a lot of moms and dads out there who will never see their kids walk down the aisle because of what Kamala Harris has unleashed at this border.
She unleashed it. On the border, she did this. This is what she did. That's what she was. She was the border czar. And if you aren't happy with the border, they need to keep pressing this issue. Keep pressing this issue. That and the fact that Kamala Harris failed to connect one person with high-speed internet, even though they spent $442.5 billion from the infrastructure bill. Not one person. $42.5 billion. So she really is able to accomplish so much, is she not? I mean, she's just so effective. J.D. Vance also went after the deal regarding the 9/11 terrorists. And I mean, we talked about this earlier in the show today. I'm still amazed, truly amazed by all of this. Take a listen to what he said.
Now, it's funny what Kamala Harris does, but what she has done to this country is not a laughing matter. Just today, I heard that the Biden-Harris Department of Justice cut a deal with Al-Qaeda terrorist Khalid Sheikh Mohammed to avoid the death penalty. It was reported today. Now, as someone who enlisted in the Marines to serve after 9/11, that is ridiculous, but it's not surprising. Now, just think about the point that we've gotten to. Joe Biden and Kamala Harris have weaponized the Department of Justice to go after their political opponents, but they're cutting a sweetheart deal with 9/11 terrorists. We need a president who kills terrorists, not negotiates with them.
That's a good point. If you signed an NDA, they'll come after you, but not if you're a terrorist who blew up the trade towers.
The weakness of Kamala Harris's administration has been a disaster for our country all over the world. Now, there are so many examples we could talk about, but recent news comes out of Venezuela that they cut a deal with a dictator in Venezuela, and they offered in exchange that that dictator would have free and fair elections. And shocker, the Kamala Harris administration doesn't know anything about free and fair elections.
He's a really good speaker. He is. He's a solid speaker, which is why they keep focusing on stupid things like couches. Jackie Heinrich today asked the question, and of course, the White House says they had nothing to do with this. These were military trials. The president's the commander in chief. I'm pretty sure that if they wanted to seek the death penalty, they could have made that happen. I'm pretty sure about that fact. But of course, the White House says we had nothing to do with it. We had nothing to do with it.
Just hoping for a response to the 9/11 plea deal that spared the architects the death penalty. The New York City Firefighters Union put out a statement that said, "We are disgusted and disappointed that these three terrorists were given a plea deal and allowed to escape the ultimate justice while each month three more heroes from the FDNY are dying from World Trade Center illnesses." Does the administration have a message for them?
Look, our hearts go out. I mean, not much more than I can add to what you heard from the National Security Advisor and how I just answered the question to one of your colleagues. And I'll just reiterate, obviously, our hearts go out to the families who lost a loved one. We didn't have a role in this. This was not something that we were involved in. And so we are determined to make sure that they get justice, these families get justice. I just don't have anything else to add to what the National Security Advisor just stated from here moments ago.
I got nothing. We had nothing to do with it. Why would we take a role in wanting to see death to the people that orchestrated the greatest attack on U.S. soil since Pearl Harbor? Why would we be involved in that in any way, shape, or form? We're way too busy going after Donald Trump's non-disclosure agreements. So, you know, and raiding Mar-a-Lago. We can't be bothered. We can't be bothered with this. So there you go. I had another J.D. Vance border clip. He ripped the media for trying to hide that Kamala Harris is the border czar. And good for him, you know, for going after that, because I'm sick and tired of them gaslighting us again by pretending like she had nothing to do with the border. Like there was no involvement whatsoever by her.
Close here in a second, but I want to just point out that when the media lies about Kamala Harris being the border czar, here is what you're lying about. You cannot have an effective border policy unless you have somebody who is coordinating all the different agencies of the U.S. federal government. You need the State Department involved to send people back to their home countries. You need the Department of Justice involved to prosecute these terrible drug crimes. And of course, you need DHS involved so that the Border Patrol is empowered to do their job. Kamala Harris, as border czar, was asked to coordinate all these functions of government, and she's done nothing. Every time I ask these guys, and I even asked, you know, Brandon, Paul, let's play devil's advocate here. Tell me, has Kamala Harris done anything you've asked her to do? She is the border czar. Has your border czar done anything you've asked her to do? And the answer is no. They send letters. They make phone calls. They are begging the American president and vice president for leadership, and their own border czar ignores them. That is a scandal. That is a disgrace. And to every American watching this, it will stop, but only if you elect Donald J. Trump president in just a few months. God bless you guys. Thank you for being here.
They're gaslighting. That's exactly what they're doing. Ha ha. That's exactly what they're doing. They are gaslighting us every single day. We're not going to let them. And, you know, when the fall election heats up, I got asked today a great question. I saw my buddy Anthony Mongo today. Terrific man. He's got Mongo's Tire in Delran. This is probably the most honest mechanic on planet Earth. I've known the guy for a long time. Very active in Rotary. His daughter, Nikki, great friend of the show. One of our Zioli Army calendar girls. And he was talking about, you know, they're still hiring, by the way, if you're a mechanic and you want to, they're looking for good people. But we were talking about the election. And I said, look, you know, here's the deal. You're going to see a bump. There's no doubt about it. You're going to see Kamala Harris get a bump. And you're going to see a bump after the convention. But then the fall is going to come and her record is going to come out. That's what's going to happen. Her record is going to come out. In fact, there was a great piece that was written the other day by Carol Roth, who's fantastic. She's a really smart woman, and she wrote this piece on Fox News. Kamala Harris is Joe Biden 2.0. That needs to be the focus of the campaign. Democrats want the election to be about Kamala Harris as the first woman president, not more of Joe Biden's bad policies. And she goes on to say, you know, there's plenty of material from which to work with around the vice president. This isn't going to be a winning strategy by focusing on her personally, whether or not she's identifying as black or not. You got to focus on the issues is her point. Now, I get it. I understand the point of saying, look, if Kamala Harris is not real and doesn't have street cred, it's a legit issue. Put it out there. You know, let the voters decide, get it out there. But her record is so bad. I just don't want the record to be overshadowed by anything. I really don't. I don't want the record to be overshadowed by anything. She received no primary votes in the presidential election. There are a lot of Democrats who are very angry about the fact that she has been allowed to just become their chosen candidate. And, you know, Carol Roth makes a couple great, really great points here. The policies that, the Democrat system has been enacting, from allowing millions of illegal aliens into the country to wrecking economic and fiscal havoc, massive inflation, and the struggle for Americans to afford their basic needs, running massive non-emergency deficits, all those things will remain in place under Kamala Harris. Are you sick of America's counterproductive energy policies? Well, get ready for another 4 years of pushing destructive faux green policies. Do you hate how we've been shown weakness on the international stage? It has emboldened terrorists around the world. Well, be prepared for more of the same. Biden was positioned to America as a moderate candidate, and it was very apparent very quickly that was not the case. I told you that back in the fall of 2020, and I was saying to people, please don't be misled here. Don't be duped by this guy. He's not some moderate hiding in the basement, going to keep you safe from mean tweets and COVID. Joe Biden's only becoming the Democrat nominee because he's going to embrace all the kooky, lefty, radical, nutso policies that the Democrats want. Otherwise, that deal would not happen. But Kamala Harris was known as the most liberal senator, one of them anyway. And there's no doubt about it that as that record comes out more and more, focusing on her policies will be the answer to winning this election. No question about it. Because she's a terrible candidate with bad policies and a bad track record of those those policies. And I'm telling you too, you know, if you look at what it's like economically, and you go to, they keep talking about moms, right? Moms in Pennsylvania. They brought this mom on the stage last night at the rally who talked about how expensive things are. This is the issue. This is how you win right here. To quote James Carville, it's the economy, stupid. It still is. It's the economy and the border in this election. I absolutely believe that. But they brought this mom on stage last night. Listen to what she said.
Gas prices are just astronomical. Being able to afford anything for my children anymore, like sports, is just kind of out of the question now. When President Trump was in, I could do these things with them. Since then, I've not been able to. I can't put them into sports. I can't go on extravagant vacations anymore. We can go to free parks around here. I miss it. I miss when we didn't have to pull out of our pockets for things. I'm hoping we can get back to a point where I'm financially stable.
You will.
And others. I know I can't be the only one. We're all going to the gas pump and be like, man, here goes the last of what I have. I know.
Thank you. Good job. It's not easy. It's getting up there.
I would like to be able to go into a grocery store again and not have to put something back. Or say, nope, we can't do a nice cake from the bakery. We have to try and do one from home. So I really hope and pray that we can make America great again and get you back in office.
That's the issue right there. I'm telling you, that's it. It's the economy. Go after that, how expensive things are. Tie Kamala Harris directly to it. Tie Kamala Harris directly to Joe Biden's economy, because it's the Biden-Harris economy. I would keep saying Biden-Harris. I would. I would keep saying Biden-Harris. No question about it. And then this idiot today, somebody in his administration posts, you ought to be able to sit next to your child on a flight without paying more. Today, my administration is proposing a ban on airlines charging those fees. It'll save a family of four as much as $200 per round trip and gets us one step closer to ending all junk fees for good. This is junk fees. That's the issue. Junk fees. That's what the administration is still focusing on, because they want to go after evil, greedy corporations. And, you know, airlines, of course, are not in any way, shape or form affected by the high price of fuel, because all these airplanes, you know, they're all electric. They're all, well, they're hang gliders, really, is what they are. They're hang gliders. And they don't need oil in any way, shape, or form. So it's not – they're just trying to price gouge everybody. They have not had any increases whatsoever. None. They've had no they've had no price increases whatsoever. All right, listen, the great one, Mark Levin, is up next. Have a great rest of your night tonight. Enjoy it. We're back with you tomorrow from 3 until 7. Keep the conversation going on X at Rich Zeoli. Thank you.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too. What,
you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.